Welcome to GhostBiz here on The Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel. I get to chat to the finance ghost every week, find out what's going on the markets. Before we get going, let's just say thank you to making us Namibia's favorite business podcast. Remember, you can get us wherever you get Apple, Android, Spotify. Anyway, go and subscribe. Go to nova.com.na as well and listen to all of our previous episodes. But thank you for your support. Right, Ghost, let's start out with a share that we don't normally discuss. We haven't discussed it before, York Timber. But Namibians will be very aware of York Timber. They make all sorts of wooden goodies that you find in your kitchenware, those drying racks that you have to have if you live in an apartment, and all sorts of other products. York is an interesting share. And they operate in a tough industry. Tell us a little bit about what's happening there.
Hello, Gary, and to all of the listeners. Lovely to do this with you as always. York is a very interesting share. You're not wrong. And the main reason it's interesting, I guess, from my perspective at least, because I just enjoy seeing different business models and how the financials work and everything else, is that York is required to recognize the fair value move in its biological assets in every period. Now, that was a whole lot of accounting gobbledygook, I guess. So let me break it down. Basically, what they have to do is they have to take a look at the world around them and how they expect things like pricing to change for lumber, demand, etc. Then they have to look at the trees that they have in their plantations. Then they have to make some forecasts around, you know, the costs of getting the stuff down, etc. Then on top of all of that, they have to go and look at the discount rate that they should be applying to this fair value calculation. And after all of this is done, they eventually come out at a number that says, right, this is the fair value of the trees we currently have in the ground. Now, if you think about it, it's kind of logical because the business is more than just the cash they generated in the latest period. They also have huge plantations that take years to develop. So those assets need to be recognized. But the problem is, again, as you can imagine, the value of the forests can change hugely in any given year. And you have a situation where the change can be much bigger than, and often in the opposite direction to, the change in underlying earnings. So if you add together the money they made this year from actually selling their lumber, and you then combine that with the fair value move, you have hugely volatile earnings at York Timber. And that's why they always reflect earnings excluding the fair value move in biological assets. It's a really important adjustment so you can actually see the impact of that. On top of all of that, it's a hard business, as you said. So even in the latest period, despite significant improvement in their underlying operations, they actually still made a loss if you strip out those fair value moves. So really not an easy thing at all. There's some positivity in the latest period, definitely, like cash from operations is much higher year on year. But again, if you go and actually dig and you do the work, you go and have a look. The previous year, cash from operations was really low. So very much a low base effect driving that year-on-year move. York Timber, for me, just very much in the too hard bucket. But I always enjoy looking at it to see how the accounting works and how these biological asset movements actually function in practice.
Let's turn our attention to a totally different industry, and that is, I suppose, fintech. African Bitcoin Corporation, which used to be called Altvest, has received approval for a secondary listing of the ordinary shares on the Namibian Stock Exchange. Given that the exchanges operate in the same currency, what is the point of a secondary listing in Namibia? And secondly, what is the current trajectory of this particular company?
It's a good question, actually, particularly a question coming from people in Namibia. So, interestingly enough, obviously, as South Africans, you know, we see something like, oh, there's a listing in Namibia. And it's interesting and it's nice because it includes, or I imagine it makes it a lot easier for Namibian investors to get involved. But obviously, to your point, it's not that difficult for Namibian investors to invest in South Africa anyway. It's all common monetary area, etc. So I guess the reason is that for a business like what is now Africa Bitcoin, Bitcoin Corporation, I'm still getting used to the name. It's not Altvest anymore, and it was for a long time, and they invested a lot of money in that name. So now they've gone with Africa Bitcoin Corporation. There we go. I got it right this time. Why would they be looking at something in Namibia? Well, probably because they are calling all pockets right now to get their capital raises right. think it's really what it comes down to. They are raising capital of up to 11 million, which is nothing, by the way, in the greater scheme of things for a corporate. An 11 million rand capital raise is super tiny for most companies, but you know, this is a pretty early stage business. So they are raising that at holding company level. And then what is interesting is they're also raising up to 20 million rand in the Altvest Credit Opportunities Fund. And now here you have one of the problems with their rebrand, which is the Credit Opportunities Fund is still called Altvest Credit Opportunities Fund, or ACOF. And there they need to raise up to 20 million rand in equity. So basically the way Altvest, sorry, I keep doing this, Africa Bitcoin Corporation is structured, you can see how much I love the new name. They've got a variety of underlying assets with their own classes of listed shares. The most exciting of which is definitely the Credit Opportunities Fund. I think it's the best business they have by country mile. So I want to see what the recent numbers have been in that business, because the one thing that I don't love about this is that they are raising in ACOF and their last set of numbers now months and months and months old. So normal practice would be you go and raise capital when you have fresh numbers to tell a story. So let's see. You know, maybe they'll make a success of it. Maybe casting the net open to or casting the net wider to Namibia will help. At the end of the day, they've kind of rolled the dice on this whole Bitcoin thing, becoming a Bitcoin treasury company, allowing people to get their, you know, look through exposure to Bitcoin. I don't know. I don't think I'm the target market for this kind of stuff. So I try and, you know, take that into account in my views. I guess my overall thing is they invested so much in the Altvest name. Why not just do Bitcoin as one of the underlying verticals? It felt like the structure was there to just add it on, and people who are interested in the Bitcoin offering can then invest in it directly, and people who are not interested can still invest elsewhere. Whereas now, if you go in at the top, you're going to be going straight into the Bitcoin treasury company. There's no alternative. Just feels to me like they did things the wrong way around.
Another interesting move from Prosus, and I know you've been a big fan of the new CEO at Naspat, and these guys are operating in tandem. So when it comes to technology, the US is seen as the center of the Western world. This is from your newsletter, and this is where the big innovations have come from in recent years. Despite this, Prosus has positioned itself as a technology giant outside of the US, with exposure to both emerging markets in Europe, and it's now announced an acquisition in France into what looks like a marketplace business. Tell us more.
Yes, indeed. I am a fan of what Prosus is doing under the leadership of Fabrizio Bluisi, quite right, something we've talked about on the show many times. And Prosus has announced a new transaction in France. They are buying what looks to me like the Auto Trader equivalent in France. So it's basically vehicle classifieds, but with quite a strong focus on dealer sales as opposed to a peer-to-peer Gumtree style marketplace, I suppose, if anyone still uses Gumtree. I haven't actually been on there in ages now that I think about it. So Prosus is buying this platform. It's called La Centrale, although I'm sure it's got fancier French. I'm making it very Italian when it's not. I guess it's La Centrale. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's French. And it's a motor classifieds platform. And Prosus is going to part with 1.1 billion euros for the deal. So not a small amount of money. This will be through their OLX platform, and it actually represents OLX's entry into Western Europe. So that's going to be an interesting challenge, because OLX has been very focused on Central and Eastern Europe. But this is actually part of a broader strategy at Prosus that I'm certainly hoping they'll get right. And much of the investment thesis or outcome is going to rest on this. You know, they've got a lot of high growth markets that they have exposure to. Places like South America, India, Central and Eastern Europe, as I said. But recent acquisitions, not all of them, there's been a big one in South America, but some of the recent acquisitions have been in Western Europe. And the idea here is to say, yes, we acknowledge that Western Europe is not exactly growth central, but if we take our AI and our ability to improve platforms and use the data and build recommendation engines and all the rest, then they reckon that they can make it work. And this is across stuff like food delivery, now motor classifieds. At the end of the day, it kind of makes sense, because if you think about it, all these platforms are just groups of users on either side, a whole lot of data in the middle, and a need to use technology to bring the costs down, get the recommendations to be better, and just improve the overall user experience. If you can do that, you can do it across almost any platform. So we'll see what happens here. I continue to be supportive of what I'm seeing from the company. It kind of just makes sense what they're doing. And I do think that they're catching a lot of these businesses now at the right point on the J curve. It feels like the worst is behind many of these platforms and they are now kind of blossoming into profitability. So yeah, as I say, I am long. So, you know, take that opinion from where it comes. That these are the reasons why I have a long position.
And as we've discussed a couple of times, the section in your newsletter called Nibbles, which is really where there's little bits of information you can go look at. But more importantly, Director's Dealings is a lovely place to just go and see what's going on. Des De Beer, we've mentioned him a few times last year when he was very active in the market, buying shares of a company called Lieshout Properties, in which he's involved in. He's been back at it, splashing big money this week on that particular share. What's happening at Lighthouse Properties that's creating this excitement from Des?
Des is certainly one of the big names in South African property. He's the founder and he was the CEO of Resilient REIT for a very long time. And Lighthouse is a group that he's on the board of and basically he understands inside out. And I think it really is just a way for him to gain offshore exposure through a vehicle that he knows and understands. And it's often the case for a lot of these top execs when they are intimately involved in a listed group, they follow a concentrated portfolio approach. Now, obviously, we are talking about someone who is worth a ton of money. So let me maybe just put a nuance on that statement by saying, yes, we see the purchases he makes in Lighthouse shares, but we don't get to see everything else he does with his money. So the truth is we actually don't know what percentage of his wealth the Lighthouse stake actually is. But what we do know is that he's very happy to keep on buying up the shares. He keeps on backing the group that he is already heavily invested in and very involved in, which is good behavior as an investor. That's obviously what you like to see. I mean, the alternative, which is directors selling down the shares while trying to tell a good story to the market, is obviously way more worrying. So, you know, that's good news for Lighthouse shareholders. And he also receives big money in terms of dividends from his property stakes. So, yeah, when we see stuff like him buying shares for a couple of million bucks or whatever, it is dropping the ocean stuff, as hard as that is sometimes to believe and to understand and to even, you know, think is possible. At the top end of the JSC, there are some very big balance sheets running around.
Thank you, Ghost. Remember, you can get along to ghostmail.co.za and subscribe to any one of the number of most excellent newsletters that is produced by the Finance Ghost. And you can download this episode and all of our other episodes wherever you pick up your podcasts. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.